sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his house while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and every joy seen every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Amen. Number 564, and for those who can, let's stand. And after the song, we'll be led in prayer by Brother Bill.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine in my soul, blessed sunshine in my soul, while the peaceful happy moments, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love for
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as you look down upon us today, we are so grateful to be assembled before you to worship you, we pray, in spirit and in truth. Thanking you, Father, for giving us the health that we have that we can be here. And Father, to remember your Son who died for us on the cross, to remember the things that he did for us here while he was alive here on this earth, we're eternally grateful for giving us your word that we can study it learn what you would want us to do, to put it in our hearts, and Father, to do our best to live it out in our lives. To be pleasing to you while we are here. Thank you so much for the church. Thank you so much for the members that are here today. And Father, we pray for those that have not attended today because of the virus that we have. We ask you to strengthen all of us. Help us, Father, to always be willing to do your will.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for the health that we have once again. And Father, we're mindful of those that are sick and recovering. Father, we pray your blessings upon them to strengthen them and to help them to regain their normal walks in this life.
Amen.
For those that are sorrowful because of loss of loved ones, Father, we pray that you'll comfort them in such a way that they know that there are better days ahead, and Father, to give it to them in such a way that they can once again enjoy the life as they had before. Father, thank you so much for giving us the right to live in a country such as this, for the freedoms that we have, for the bounty that we have. And Father, we pray for the leaders of the land that they'll look to you for guidance, not to man's wisdom. Help us to overcome this virus in such a way, Father, that we'll rededicate our lives to you and to see that, Father, that you are the only answer that we have. Thank you for the men and women that serve in the military, that keep us safe. And Father, we pray that you will keep them from harm's way, and Father, to comfort their families. Thank you for the first responders, for all those that have worked in the hospital so hard, and everyone that the policemen, the firemen, the ambulance personnel, and the doctors and the nurses that we have. We are so grateful. And we ask you to bless them, Father, and give them the strength to carry on through this pandemic that we have. Father, we ask you to help us in our lives that we can be strengthened, that we can become better Christians in your kingdom. You've given us the word, Father. We pray that we'll study it and in such a way that it'll be meaningful as you would have us to know it, not as man. Father, help us always to be found faithful in your service. Bless us as we go through this day. We're grateful for the song leader, for Brother Tom. We're grateful for the lesson that we'll hear from Brother Robert. Help us to take the lesson that we learned today and put it in our hearts, live it out in our lives. Father, we know that you will take care of us. For we ask you, Father, to help us out at times of need. And we can be assured that you will. In our lives, Father, we realize that we make mistakes, that we err, that we sin. We ask you, Father, to strengthen us, to help us to overcome our weaknesses, and to forgive us of our sins. Thank you so much again for this day, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 387. 387. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, there
Being here today, and as we serve the bread, it's in the individual containers. Take the container itself, if you would please, and then after you consume the bread, place the container in the songbook rack out there. Would you pray with me? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we live in the generation, as has been prayed about already, that there are doctors and nurses and caregivers that are part of our lives. From day to day, we thank Thee so much for them. But we are at this time mindful of the spiritual benefits from Christ Jesus our Lord, who gave Himself in such a way to bear our sins in His own body upon the cross. To that degree today, as we remember that, help us to remember that now as we partake of this bread representing His body. In Jesus' name. Our Father, as we continue the thought about this, the Lord's Supper, we're reminded of Jesus' blood and how that totally, fully, He completed His mission in giving His whole being for the removal of our sins by way of this blood. As we partake of this fruit of the vine today, we're reminded of the blood of Christ and our salvation from sin. In Jesus' name. It continues on, even though this pandemic is around here and around the world too. Brethren are very faithful where they are to do the work that they do. Let's pray to that end. Our Father in heaven, as this contribution is given, we're prayerful that we'll be people who recognize the good that can be done and is being done, and to that degree that we'll make this contribution to that end. In Jesus' name.
We have 19 present this morning. Today is May 17th, 2020 for taping purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our song books at number 683. 683 will be the song of invitation for our lesson this morning. Once you've marked that, let's turn to number 331. 331. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every
Our Lord, in choosing the disciples, wanted them to go forth and proclaim the message of the Heavenly Father that He had been given. And He urged them to do that. And in a great parable that He gave in Matthew chapter 7, commencing at verse 21, He said that in that regard. He said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. But he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand." He tells that in each instance there were floods that came and winds that blew and beat upon that house. The same problems and difficulties besought the man who built upon the rock as the one who built upon the sand. But the difference was in the stability of that building. Upon the rock it stood, and it stayed, and it was there. But the sinking sand resulted in the fall, and great, he says, was the fall of that house of the foolish man. People who hear God's word and then put it into practice, James says, are doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving themselves. There are those who deceive themselves by believing that they hear the word, and they tend to agree with what they hear, but never put it into practice. Never do what the Lord says to do. That they are acceptable to the Lord just as well as those who do what He says to do. James says they are deceiving themselves when they do not just hear and fail to do what their Lord has said. In John chapter 8 and verse 31 beginning, our Lord Jesus there spoke in regard to how that they live from day to day. And He says to the disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed." To really be a disciple of the Lord involves continuing in what He has been telling them and teaching them to do. As He taught them in regard to how to live and how to behave with their fellow man and how to exalt God and glorify God in their lives. That's what He's saying there. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Then He goes on to say in John 8 at 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Notice that knowing the truth comes as a result of practicing what He has said, doing what He has taught us. If He's taught us the way to talk, and He has, He's taught us the way to love, and He has, He taught us the way of compassion and help to others, He has. We're to practice those ways of life. This congregation, throughout the years, as I've known the congregation, way before I got the opportunity to even be up here with you, I knew the congregation was very thought-provoking in regard to care for others. Widows and orphans in their affliction were cared for. So called by James 1 at 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit or care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unguarded from the world. The world is ways of worlds of foolish ways of life. And we're to repent of that. We're to turn from that and be people who serve the Lord's cause as He has taught us to serve His cause. And that's exactly what He says to the disciples there. "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you continue my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Paul addressed Timothy with a thought in mind in 2 Timothy 2 at 24 and following. He said, "The servant of the Lord must not strive." That word "strive" is a word for violence. Be violent. Be a fighter. Be a resister. You must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. That word gentle means to be calm and caring, guiding and directing and leading is to be done. To be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, and that involves teaching, that it involves didacta, meaning involve that which is true, which the Lord has said. And as we go back to the ideas that we introduced in this lesson today, continuing in the word of the Lord is taught in order to be His faithful disciple. Continuing in the word of the Lord will know the truth. The truth will make us free. Before we're free, we have to know the truth. Before we know the truth, we'll have to continue in His word. Thus we are teaching others round about us now, as he says here in 2 Timothy 2:24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Patient with the response. I'm so glad that somebody early on, my grandfather Lawrence, leaned over one day on the front porch and said to me, "Robert, not everyone is going to have the background that you have when you preach the gospel to them. They may work through some error that they have believed and practiced, somebody that they love deeply. They realize that person didn't read all that verse. That person didn't tell me all that truth. That person didn't do what he really should have done. And they're thinking about what they've been taught versus what you're teaching right there. It takes patience as you teach the people. It may take a number of months and a number of years of time to get over to somebody what you've really said. There may be those that take what you say and they mix it in with what they've heard someone else say and say, "Well, it makes no difference," to themselves, and never put into practice what the Lord has said. But we're to be people who do what the Lord has said do. As a result of that, we're the people that God would have us to be. And as we teach others this word of the Lord, He says, "There be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing them." That meekness comes out of that gentleness in life. That meekness comes out of that patience that is exercised. And he says there in regard to this, in meekness instructing those who oppose. They don't oppose you. My granddad said, "You'll realize that that's the case, and you'll do better." He said, "You always smile as you preach." And he said, "That's why you smile as you preach. Because you're preaching the word of the Lord to people. You're not smiling to take advantage of somebody. But there will be those who do not hear all of it. They do not understand all of it. They'll mix it in with what they've heard before. And they will be people who really don't accept it yet. They don't see it yet. But they really are opposing themselves." Teaching them, instructing them who oppose themselves. Why would they be opposing themselves? Well, as the disciples were being told there by Jesus in Matthew 7, He's saying to them that they were people who found themselves not putting into practice what the wise man said he was doing, building on the rock. In fact, the disciples not being true disciples in John 8:31. They'll never come to really know the truth if they continue in that way in which they deceive themselves. What are there some subjects about which today we could deceive ourselves? We could deceive ourselves in believing that because we're in a house or a building that's called the church, that we are the church. But that is not true. The church are the ones who are called out of sin. That word means called out ones. As we were called out of sin and obeyed the gospel of Christ, we came into the church of our Lord as He added us to His church, not by a vote of mankind, not by an agreement of a group of folks that says, yes, we'll accept that person into our fellowship, but by the process by which the Lord Himself adds us to His church. When I was baptized into Christ, I found the remission of my sins and the Lord added me to His church, and I became a member of the church of our Lord wherever the church meets. They may meet in a building. They may meet in the earlier days under a brush arbor. They may meet in regard to some tight buildings and that sort of thing. They may meet with beautiful edifices. That's great influence in the community. But the church is the group of people who are gathered together, worshiping God together in spirit and in truth. At my home congregation, there was a good preacher that they invited to come and preach, the Nile Church, south of Kosciuszko. And in that day and time, when I was yet just a young man, growing up in that congregation there, not yet a member of the congregation, there was a big conflict that took place one Sunday morning, vividly. The old preacher was sitting up toward the front, and when time came that we sang together and read scripture together, and then there was a dismissal time for the children to go with ladies and to class. He objected to women teaching. And he stood up and he, whoa, what are you doing now? What are you doing? We're going to class to study the Bible with our young people. Our adults will be out here in this auditorium and we'll study the Bible with you. Well, that's not right. Well, everybody sit down. Uncle Walter said, everybody sit down. What is your verse of scripture? What's your source of authority? What's the truth on this subject? Are women not supposed to teach at all? That's right. He turned them over to 1 Timothy 2, and he began to talk about how women should learn in silence, and how that they should not teach. Uncle Emmett said, read the rest of that verse over men. Women were not to be people who were taking charge over and in charge of teaching men. He said, now which one of these young men that came up today to go back to their class to learn more of the Bible is a man? Would you point him out? He's a man. If he's a man, you would listen to what he has to say. But he's a young man, a child, learning more of God's Word. That verse is not the verse that tells us women should not speak at all. He said, imagine we would have a terrible singing service if we didn't have some women voices to speak. And with that, he took his seat. We all got up and went back to class. After we had been dismissed, I understood from my dad later on that Uncle Emmett and Uncle Walter stood up and said, brother, we have asked you to come here today because we have a lot of confidence in you. You've been told to us by others to be a God gospel preacher. And yet you'll tell the truth and you'll be a person of truth. Now today we'll let you go ahead and speak in our service because that's what our plan is. But if this is the subject you're going to speak about in our service, you're going to try to make everything right from what you did wrong out of what Paul told Timothy to do. Not only can you not speak, but it's time for you to leave this service now. To his credit, he said, I'll teach what the Word of God says. I'll teach what the Bible says. And he did. We came out of class that day for the sermon to be preached to us and everything. And we didn't know a thing about that. And he preached a good sermon and we all enjoyed him very much. But he was mixed up in regard to what partial verse he read instead of it all. When you and I find ourselves in the church of our Lord, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, we find ourselves being a part of that body that Paul writes to Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning verse 21, and tells them, unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, through the power that worketh within us, to Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. We're to glorify, put light upon God as we sing, as we pray, as we preach, as we teach God's Word and live His... We certainly put light upon His Word when we talk about the bread and the fruit of the vine. And the giving, why, the giving is not just filthy lucre. That is money that is used for the blessings of the Lord and referred to in that regard that a person is to give out of the joy in his heart. It's not just to be cast into the plate. It's to be with joy in our hearts. What are we supposed to teach others? We're supposed to teach others the truth. We're supposed to tell them and show them the truth. And what methodology are we to do? Well, go back to 2 Timothy 2:24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, not be divisive, but gentle unto all men. Apt to teach and patient. In meekness, instruct those who oppose themselves. Then he goes on to say in the next verse of that chapter, 2 Timothy 2, that they've given themselves snare of the devil. And how the devil has taken them snare captive at his will. They taught them the truth so that they could come away from Satan and his ways of life. And that's the way of life that we should teach even today. Thank you for your study with us. We trust that this has been beneficial only to our understanding of truth in His right way. We invite you to come today if you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ like the people on the day of Pentecost and repenting and being baptized, Acts 2 and 38. And the Lord will add you to His church today where you can live and be a part of the worship services wherever you are around the world. When I left Kosciuszko, Mississippi, went up the Natchez Trace and went to Henderson, Tennessee to go to school at Fried Hardeman. The local church was there. I knew that the cottage was not the church, but there was a congregation there in town, right up the street, right there on the block. I looked into the time of services they were doing. Though I had not attended a Wednesday night service with them, they attended Wednesday evening for their Bible study times. My attending and some of my early preaching was on Friday nights. We were in a cow milking society, and that was a better day of the week for them to stop cow milking and to come to service. And they deemed that, and we met for Bible classes on Friday nights at 9. But they met on Wednesday. Did I have a problem with that? I never done that. I don't know why I should do that. I'll just stay in my dorm. Is that the spirit I'm supposed to have as a Christian? Or am I to grow in the knowledge of the truth? Am I to grow in that way? I went to those Wednesday night classes. I was up there 1 week and I had a job. I went out to the Middlesville Church of Christ to be the preacher there. They accepted me right off the bat on the first Sunday of preaching there. I've been blessed in that regard through the years. People love the Bible, love the Word of God, wanted to follow the truth. And that's what I preached from a young man on up. And today, that's the message. In Acts chapter 2, you see how people obeyed the Lord. You have eight examples, detailed examples, in the book of Acts of the Apostles. You actually have 11 altogether, but detailed examples, eight of them that are listed there. The detailed example that's listed of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 is if he confessed the Lord, he could be baptized in that pool of water that they found in that oasis of the desert. Here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? After having been preached Jesus, what was the message of baptism? The message of baptism of in Jesus and the Great Commission. And that's the truth that he taught him. And he stopped the chariot and said, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? If you believe, you may. He said, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They stopped the chariot and both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him into Christ. He went on his way rejoicing. Philip went somewhere else to preach the gospel in Azotus. But he went on his way rejoicing. A lot of manuscripts were found in that dry, arid area of Egypt. And I wonder how much that man had the Word of God there available to him and had people to make copies of it. But there were an awful lot of copies there in Egypt when they found them, many years later. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, would you come together as we stand and as we sing?
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden?
Thank you all for being here today. May the Lord bless us with an answer to this problem. And if we could, we get together as we invite the whole congregation. We'll call everybody when that time comes. But in view of the fact that Faith Jones has announced that to the family, that only the family and 20 of them can come and be a part of that service on Wednesday for Colonel Mason, I'm presuming that we need to hold up another week.
One of the things that we support here with the Orphans Lifeline International
in Minnesota.
We actually get this at home as well, and things are bad here, but nothing like in many other countries. There is no travel, period, unless you walk. The food shortages are bad. Lots of different things. I'm going to post this on the bulletin board for y'all to read if you want. One of the things that really strikes me is over in India, you know, how the Hindus have taken over the country, and they're actually killing Christians at times, but now the Hindus are asking the children's homes to help them, the Christians, to help them appease them. They realize that their way of life is can't handle it.
Yeah.
And also, there's some good stories on the inside from the different homes, the things that the kids are doing.
Amen. It goes a long way.
Let's turn to number 469. And after this song, James, we need some word prayer. Save your life,
the shepherd lead us, but we need thy tenderest care. In thy present pasture speak us, for I'm used to all repair. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine and we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus.
This morning. Thank you, Brother Tom. Good song, Lee. Be with the ones that's sick, especially the ones that lost loved ones. Be with this church, especially our good families here across the Church of Christ. Be with our next point in time. We ask our Lord to save Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.